In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. Having spoken about temptation, by now we know their purpose and why God allows them. We have discussed St. John Chrysostom's commentary on temptation, or the homilies on temptation, why God does not prevent temptation from coming. First, to teach us that we are much stronger than the temptations and the tempter in Christ, in Jesus Christ. Secondly, not to be puffed up by the greatness of our power through Christ. So not to brag and be puffed up about the power we have in Christ and take on Satan and put ourselves into some predicaments where we will definitely be tempted. And to teach us also that temptation has the power to repress us if we take our mind and our eyes off Christ and we allow ourselves to be tempted, well, we could be repressed. Also, to assure that tempting demons, that we have utterly forsaken them, fallen from them, when we too demand that they go away, to depart from us. So God allows us to be tempted to also teach the demons a lesson. Because when we forsake them and we are totally drawn away from them, and we overcome their temptation, and we are victorious just as Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, not I. The I factor has to slowly and surely diminish from our lives. In Christendom, in Christianity, it's Christ, it's through Christ. That's why when the priest is baptizing, the priest says, "You are baptized, this person is baptized, I baptize you." No. It's the Holy Spirit that baptizes. It's God who baptizes. So everything we do through Christ. And through Christ, God allows us to be tempted so that we can show demon that we can utterly forsake him and overcome him. And again, as Christ did, we too, being Christians, demand, command, rebuke Satan to be away from us. Also, we are allowed to be tempted that we may be aware and acknowledge the treasures that God has entrusted to us. We are his children. We are heirs and co-heirs with Christ. We are the heirs of the kingdom of heaven. So when we are tempted, to know that, listen, you're being tempted because you are a child of the kingdom. You are a child of God. And where does Satan shoot his flaming arrows? Directs them to the children of God. So while you're being tempted, praise the Lord and acknowledge and take heart and be encouraged. You know, be on fire that you are a child of God. That is why you're going through these temptations. And that is God, why God is allowing you to go to these temptations. That's why the demons are attacking. Now, that is all well and good. But the question remains, and many have posed this question, many of my beloved youth, from all over the world actually, the question that remains is, and is being asked, how do we identify, how do we pinpoint, Rabbi, the time of temptation? Because, you know, there is a time that Satan, there is a point in your struggle that Satan enters. We can't blame Satan from the get-go, and we're going to talk about that. And we do that. Oh, the devil made me do it. No, no, no. Sit down and think about it, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to take it step by step. How do we pinpoint temptation? How do we pinpoint the moment where Satan has drawn near to begin to play what? Football with us, right? The moment we are tempted, in what way we are tempted, and what point are we tempted? First and foremost, temptation, definition, the desire, the urge, the enticement, the luring to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. And in our Christian lives, as children of God and as small Christs, is the temptation, the luring, the enticement, the desire, the urge to do something which is in contrary to God's commandment, disobeying God. Now, one thing we need to understand, and unfortunately this has to be reiterated, because at times we see churches, we hear preachers that have got it so wrong when it comes to sin. Man of the cloth, or the women, just doesn't sit right, does it? The women of the cloth. In any case, we need to know and we need to understand, with God, there is no compromising of sin. There is no justification of sin. God justifies the sinner when the sinner has confessed, admitted, and repented and returns to Christ and asks for forgiveness. Yes, God justifies, forgives the sinner. God will not say, I will forgive you. And you know what? Your sin, I understand, you know. No. God hates sin. God despises sin. I think sometimes we forget this. That's why we take sin so lightly. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, the thick six and the seven things that God hates, and they all pertain to sin. God's not going to say, well, you know, we can view it this way. No, 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 maybe it's not that way. No, no, I don't feel. No, 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 it's not about what we feel. It's God's commandment. God will never come back and return on his commandments and say, well, I don't feel right now. No, no, the word that has come out of God's mouth, beloved, the holiness, the righteousness, the commandments, the warnings, the blessings, the callings have not changed, because the word that has proceeded from the mouth of God will not return empty, but it will do what it's been sent out to do. So when God has said that I hate sin, you know, in our own words, I hate sin, in the history of the world, in the history of the church, the tradition of the church, which is the life of the Holy Spirit within the church, we have not read that one day God has then said, but I understand. Well, you know what? Now, as far as sin is concerned, no, sin is despised. One verse is quite evident of this. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. You know, they're asking about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. They were offering sacrifices. Pilate came and shed their blood. Or the 18 Jews upon whom the tower of Shiloh fell and killed them. They asked Jesus. His reply wasn't, no, you know what? He said, no, but I say to you, unless you repent, all you shall be destroyed, all of you. Now, repent from what? From praying? From fasting? From reading the Holy Scriptures? From doing good? From producing fruits of repentance? From your almsgiving? From holiness? No, repenting from everything that is evil, which is sin. Unless you repent, you all shall be destroyed. There's no compromising, beloved. One thing we need to understand with God is that he doesn't compromise. And that we need to understand and always remind ourselves, beloved. James chapter 2, verse 11. For as the sorry, James chapter 2, verse 11. For he who says, listen to this very carefully. Oh, I do this, but I don't do that. Oh, I don't go that far. No, no, that you won't find that in me. But this is my weakness. So just because I don't do what he does and his is a greater deal, well, mine is justified. No, sin is not justified. For he who said, you shall not commit adultery, said also, you shall not kill. Now, if you don't commit adultery, but you kill, you have become a transgressor of the law. For he who has commanded that we do not hate, that we must love, that we must pray for our enemies, has also commanded that we must feed them when they're hungry. Oh no, I'm not going to do that. But you know, I pray for them. No. The minute you say no to what God has commanded, you have broken God's commandment. So knowing this and more are God's reaction to sin, and knowing that we are constantly tempted to fall to sin, we too must be alert and able to pinpoint the temptation, the time of temptation where we are about to fall or we have fallen. We need to know that pinpoint that time of Satan's interference to tempt us to drop us so that we can rebuke him in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, when a thought is brewing in the mind, the thought comes to mind pertaining to what you are struggling with to repent from, especially during this time of fasting. And again, beloved, last Wednesday was halfway. If you still haven't fasted, you still have some time. You have now 22 days, I think, or 23, whatever. You still have time to fast and to repent, not only during fasting, we spoke about that. You still have time. When a thought comes to mind pertaining to what you are struggling with to repent from, especially during this time of fasting, the thoughts begin to brew in your mind. Why? Because of your desires and lust. James chapter 1 verse 13. Your body is longing for it. Your body needs that satisfaction, that physical, social, immoral satisfaction. The mind is brewing in, the thought is in your mind. You're trying to quit alcohol, and then there is a thought in your mind, just one glass. You're trying to quit ecstasy. You're trying to quit drugs. You're trying to quit sexual immorality. Right? You're trying to quit anything and to repent from what is immoral in the eye of God, and the thought starts brewing, you have not sinned. Don't throw in the towel. Don't huff and puff and start murmuring. That is not sin. At this point, and that is not temptation yet. Satan has got nothing to do with that right now. Your thought, the thought brewing in your mind is because of what you're longing for. You know, it's what I call it, Stephen, when you know those who are on drugs and they're trying to withdrawal symptoms. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. I got it myself. Withdrawal symptoms. Your body is starting to. I haven't gossiped for a long time. I want to pick up the phone and I want to talk. You know, it's that desire. That is not sin. At this point, what you need to do is cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Cry out to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Do the sign of the cross and cry out to Jesus for strength. Strengthen me. Take these thoughts away from me. Help me to eliminate these thoughts in my mind. If we neglect and entertain the thought, if you start pondering on it and giving it the time of the day, then something else kicks in, which is the Spirit of God, your conscience. The conscience kicks in. The conscience will say, no, Don't do this. This is exactly what brought you down. This is why you are fasting. This is your repenting point. You've done well thus far. You will grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you are sealed for the day of salvation. You will disrespect God. You will disappoint those around you. Don't do it. Now that too is not sin yet. That is not sin. That is a thought in the mind, and you're starting to slowly entertain, and the conscience is kicking in. At this point, we need to cry out in the name of Jesus Christ, cry out to the Holy Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit doing the sign of the cross, that the Lord will help you to obey your conscience, because that is the voice of God, that is the Holy Spirit that is dwelling within you, where you have received in the waters of baptism. Cry out. Now, if we neglect and compromise our conscience, start speaking to our conscience and to start compromising it, that is when the enemy interferes and begins to deceive, to entice, and to destroy, to tempt. It's our fault. We allowed it because we neglected the signs. We neglected the signs. You know, before I catch the cold or I, you know, get the flu, my signs are, and I'm sure everyone else, I don't know, Stephen, if they're the same, you get a scratch in the throat, right? Your throat starts itching, and then you're or constantly, and then at night, and then you know you're neglected. It's okay. You continue to drink your cold liquids, right? And then at night, there's knives going through your throat, and then you wake up in the morning, and then you're clogged. And then what do? Oh no, I'm going to start drinking room temperature, please, easy on the ice, right? But you neglected it at the first time. If we neglect and compromise our conscience, then the enemy interferes, beloved, and he begins to deceive, entice, and destroy. This is the spark. This is the trigger. This is the pinpoint of temptation. Satan starts whispering and moves you to justify it. It's okay. You've done well thus far. You've built your self-control. You're an Arya now. You're a man now. You can go and take on Satan. You can walk away from it again. It's a weakness, and there's plenty of time for repentance. God is rich in mercies. You just need to return to him, and one more time, he will forgive you. You know, Romans chapter 3, verse 8, your evil establishes the justice of God. That's okay. Because you're going to do this evil, it establishes the justice of God, Calvinism. No. They forgot to add that, however, will God judge the universe? You know, St. Paul goes on to say, if this is so, well, then how is God going to judge the universe? Well, why is he going to judge the universe of sin? The sins have justified, you know, God, have established God's justice. No, that's not what it means. Let's not talk about that now. We'll get to that. And the list goes on and on and on. This is the point of temptation. But this is still not sin, because Christ was tempted. But he didn't sin. But we need to be careful now. Just because this is still not sin, this is the most critical point. At this point, we need to cry out, supplicate, parpilla, saplapta in the Assyrian language, saplapta, supplication, perseverance, persuasion, persuade, beseech in the name of Jesus Christ, beseech the Holy Trinity for deliverance. If we neglect this, if we neglect the temptation and take them lightly, it's okay, I'm gonna do it this time. And you give in to those temptations, you have sinned. When you're trying to repent and quit gambling, but the thought has come to mind and it's only $100. It's okay. I've done really well. You know what? I'm just going to go and play $100. You go there, you play your $100, you walk out with $2,000, losing money. You know, it's just one glass, the alcoholic, just one shot of whatever, you know, Black Label, one shot, you have one shot and then you're laying on the ground and you're vomiting and you're just ridiculous, just despicable, right? Oh, just one more pill. It's okay. Just one more pill. You know what? It's okay. I love you. Let's have a sexual relationship now. It's okay. You know, it's immoral. It's adultery. It's fornication. It's okay. God is mercy. I love you. You know, I love you. It's love. These are all the justifications of sin that Satan puts in your mind. Quit it. And not only during fasting, beloved. Not only during fasting. My beloved sisters, listen to me. If your boyfriend who loves you so much and respects you and asks you to send him pictures in nude pictures, spit in his face and rebuke him in the name of Jesus Christ. Not only during fasting. No. If your boyfriend or your fiancé loves you so much and wants to take advantage of that beautiful gift that God has given you, which is your virginity, spit in his face and rebuke him in the name of Jesus Christ. Vice versa, by the way. Vice versa. My beloved brothers, if your girlfriend or your fiancé is enticing you to enter the bed, spit in her face and rebuke her in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what you need to do. Neglect it and you have sinned, you have fallen. And don't blame Satan. No, blame yourself because you forgot when the thought started brewing in your mind, you neglected it. When your conscience, the spirit was saying, no, no, don't do that. You just neglected it. And then the enemy was alert. Oh, yes, this is time now. It's my show now. The curtains have gone up. It's my time now. If we neglect the temptation and take them lightly, beloved, and act upon them, you have sinned. At this point, we need to cry out, supplicate, beseech the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sin, joining the prodigal son in confessing, my Father, I have sinned toward heaven and before you, Luke 15:21. And that means I have abandoned the heavenly things, preferring shameful, meaningless earthly things to heavenly things. I was in a beautiful spiritual realm and then my thoughts went to my earthly evil and I gave into them. At this point, beloved, we need to come back with a contrite spirit, confession, admission, and asking God to forgive. And this all because we neglected and compromised our weaknesses, our wickedness, our evil. This is why during Lent we refrain from all social, all humor, all celebratory events, regardless of what they are. Why? Because the church wants her children to just have one thing in mind, to occupy their minds with one thing that is above, setting their minds on the things that are above and nothing else, on repentance and righteousness and holiness. And not only during Lent, we've spoke about that. There is another verse, I think it was two episodes ago, not only during Lent, but during the whole life on earth that we have, beloved. And Satan doesn't only come and tempt us during Lent, by the way. Satan will tempt us until the Lord returns to deliver us finally from his trickeries. I want to share with you morning prayers of the fourth Sunday of Lent. Mar Ilia III, Catholicos Patriarch, I think 4th century, correct me if I'm wrong, my beloved priests or those who are aware with the Father's writing. Look at what he says. Look at what we prayed. And His Holiness prayed this because he was at the Mara Dei Parish for the fourth Sunday of Lent. All of the goodness and provisions of God we have taken for granted. All of the glory that have been given from you to us, we took lightly and substituted them all of the precepts. Substituted them all of the precepts and commandments which were for our correction in disobedience as swines, we looked at them. The gospel promises upon which our lives hang. We took them. We were disobedient to them. As swines, we looked at them. We perceived as irrelevant. I'm sorry. All of the gospel promises upon which our lives hang, we perceived as irrelevant. Irrelevant. Thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill, love your enemies, live a holy life. Irrelevant. As lunatics in complete error, we perceived irrelevant. We lived inhumanely. We have distant righteousness from ourselves as we have not pleased to live in righteousness, but rather we are likened to beasts and have become like them. We were committed to animals and we took on their habits. We did not withhold our mouths and were not satisfied by each other's flesh. And did not cease our tongues from quarreling and grumbling against one another. Did not cease. Murder, fornication, adultery, immorality, and theft are acted in our deeds. Envy, deceit, pride, and boasting are completely perfected within us. Them's our confessing words, beloved. When the priest is, when His Holiness was praying, he was praying on behalf of the church. Confessing on behalf of the church. Them's are confessing words, admission words, alarming words. The beginning of temptation is the beginning of our compromising and justifying of our weakness and wickedness. But we have salvation, we have hope, we have deliverance through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our King, our God, our life giver and the forgiver of our sins. Praise and glory be to His holy name, now and at all times and forever. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.